Welcome in to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis, here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks are shut out by the Colorado Avalanche 1-0 to drop their third straight game in regulation. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conrad here to help me break down this game. Steve, if you would have told me before the night started that the Hawks were going to hold Nathan MacKinnon off the score sheet, they were going to allow only one goal to Colorado, I probably would have taken the bet that the Hawks are going to win the hockey game. I wasn't expecting a low-scoring game like this, 1-0. I was expecting more higher event hockey between these two teams, but unfortunate that the Hawks just weren't able to find the back of the net just at least once, because defensively they played a great game.
No, I'm in the same boat, and especially after last night, Colorado, you know, pitched the shutout in Nashville, and they get in late, and you figure, okay, this might be a high-scoring affair. And now you see why Colorado's the best team in the NHL, because not only can they score, they can defend too. And I was really impressed, you know. Brent Burns, I thought, had a real good game for Colorado. The 40-year-old, we should point out, Brent Burns, a real solid game. We talked about him late in the hockey game, Malinsky. Another solid game for him on the back end. He's a guy, Sam Malinsky, doesn't get a lot of press, but boy, he was rock solid back there with Samuel Girard. And the guy we did talk about in the pregame show was, I guess, the difference maker, really, Cale Makar, who scored the lone goal. Defensively, he was really, really good, and jumps to mind that play that Tyler Bertuzzi made late in the game. He danced around a couple of guys, takes a big shot, and Cale Makar, making it look easy, blocks it with his stick. It ended up breaking his stick, but he killed the play. So they've got a lot of great weapons, and you know, I can see why they're number one in the NHL. But if I'm in the Blackhawk dressing room right now, I don't want to say a moral victory, but certainly after the last game they played against the Buffalo Sabres, that was a lot better. And that's the kind of hockey that's going to win you hockey games. And as I talked about with John just before we pass it over to you, you play that way 75, you know, you play that way every game, you're going to win 75 to 80% of your hockey games. So I know, you know, it's moral victories don't count as points, but I think in the long run, this will be a little bit of a stepping stone for these Blackhawks.
We talked about how hot Colorado was coming into this game, 16-1-5 now on the season. So just one regulation loss all year. This is their ninth win in a row. I think now a 13-game point streak. I was just scanning through their schedule right now. This is the first time all season that Colorado has scored fewer than two goals in a single game. Mm. And the Hawks, you know, found a way to lose. They're not, I shouldn't say found a way to lose. They, just, yeah, they didn't find a way to get a goal. And so it's hard to be mad about that, about, you know, the holding Colorado to one. And it's not like the scoring chances were so lopsided that it was no Spencer Knight standing on his head. Yeah. It was just the Hawks had a really hard time breaking through Colorado's defensive structure, because, like you mentioned, Colorado gets all the accolades for their high-end offensive skill, but they check as well as any other team in the NHL, and that's been an area of improvement over the last few years for them too.
Yeah, their goals against average is the best in the NHL. But I'll go back to the first period, because that's when I think the Blackhawks, you know, maybe caught Colorado off guard. You know, maybe the bus legs were there because they played last night. But you know, Ryan Green had four scoring opportunities in period number one. That's the Connor Bedard line, and boy, I think it was Oliver Moore hit the post on a great rush up the ice. Ryan Donato had an opportunity. And then late in the game, it was Frank Nazar, who seems to be a little snake bit right now. I know he's picking up some points, assists, but I'd really like to see him score. And he had two or three glorious opportunities. I know he fanned on one earlier in the hockey game, but, you know, you get guys like that going. I thought Levshinov might score his first goal of the year tonight. It wasn't meant to be, though. But, yeah, Colorado. And the thing I like about them, they never panic. And even though the Blackhawks were putting on a lot of pressure, especially late in the third, there was never any panic in their game. They were slowing things down. I mean, even when they had the empty net, they were passing it around like, okay, we don't have to try and go for this empty net. Let's just, you know, let's just rag the clock and let's just kill the clock and win it that way. And that's a very mature hockey team out there.
We talked about the Blackhawks coming off their worst defeat of the season in Buffalo, and then even just rewind it to the third period against the Seattle game. The Hawks had played four tough periods of hockey. For them to come out in the first period the way that they did, the scoring chances in that first period were 12-4 in favor of Chicago. Mm-hmm. I really liked the response. And so on some level, it was encouraging to see that they were the better team in that first period. But now looking back at it, it was like a missed opportunity that they didn't capitalize on those chances that they did get.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. I mean, their best looks were early in this hockey game, and I didn't realize the chances were 12-4. You don't have high danger chances there, do you?
Yeah, 5-0.
5-0. Wow. Yeah. So that I tend to look at high danger chances more than anything. And when you out-danger a team 5-0 in a period, that means that you had some really good looks. And I know Ryan Green, and I thought he played a really strong game. The puck was falling around. I know he's going to have nightmares about a couple of those looks that he had. And then Oliver Moore, to put one off the post. But, you know, you're contrasting it to the game in Buffalo a couple of nights prior. I think the guys who maybe didn't have their best nights in Buffalo really came to the forefront tonight. And I'll mention Oliver Moore again. He was a -4 in Buffalo. It wasn't all on him, but he didn't have a particularly good night. He responded with a really solid hockey game. And, you know, that's good to see because, you know, sometimes as a young guy, you start to question yourself. And it's like, you know, do I belong or should I be here? But that kid belongs. He is here. And he was a difference maker tonight. And like Ryan Green, the puck seemed to follow him around a lot tonight, too.
The script got flipped in the second period when you look at all the numbers. I mean, Colorado just completely dominated play. Shot attempts were 31-7, shots on goal 19-1, scoring chances 15-1, high danger chances 8-1, all in favor of Colorado. And for the Hawks to leave that period only down a goal felt like a win, but then when you saw what happened on the goal, it's like, oh man, Spencer Knight is maybe the best goaltender in the NHL in puck handling. You know, the turnover, we might not see that again this season, him make a turnover like that. And that ended up being the deciding goal, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen him make a mistake like that all year long. I've been truly impressed with the way he handles a puck. I think he's the best puck handler among goaltenders in the NHL. And there was one time I thought, okay, maybe you should freeze this one, Spencer. And he looked up and he saw he had a bit of time, so he decides to play it. And coaches will tell you, especially goaltender coaches, is unless you don't see another enemy jersey up the middle, don't go up the middle. And there was an enemy jersey up the middle, and it was number 57, Nielsen. And unfortunately, Nielsen picked it off. He might have knocked it out of midair. I don't know. But, you know, now all of a sudden as a goaltender, you're scrambling a little bit. So he has to get back. He made the save. But unfortunately, he was out of position on the rebound, and that's where Cale Makar jumped on it. So it was so unfortunate that it had to be a mistake like that. But that's what hockey's all about. You know, it's a game of mistakes. Ask any coach in the NHL. It's whoever can really limit the mistakes. And it came down to that one play, and as you mentioned, a play that Spencer Knight has been flawless on all year long, playing the puck. He's like a third defenseman back there. So it was unfortunate that was it. It was too bad that his team couldn't bail him out and maybe try and find a goal. But let's give a little credit, too, to Scott Wedgwood because, you know, he's a guy last year who, you know, was playing with the Wedgwood, I believe, was with San Jose, correct? Mm-hmm. Was he? That was I believe it was the San Jose Sharks. Wedgwood and Blackwood. I kind of get mixed up with the two Woods.
I know, because one of them, Mackenzie Blackwood was in New Jersey. Scott Wedgwood, San Jose. But I think Blackwood also has been in San Jose. It's all commingled in my mind.
But I do know that he played a really solid game tonight. The one thing I would have liked to have seen, there was a few rebounds, and we just couldn't get to that area in the house. And you know, again, credit to Colorado because they've got the lowest goals against the NHL. They do a good job of making sure, A, they pick up the loose change, or B, they're boxing guys out in that high-danger area. So we didn't get those second and third looks that we'd gotten in some of the previous games.
I thought we were going to get an entertaining third period, but we got zero goals. And we said in the second intermission going into the third that both the Blackhawks and the Avalanche are tied for first in the entire NHL with 34 third-period goals. No other team has more than 30. Dallas is tied for second, or Dallas is second with 30 goals. And we got zero third-period goals. So go figure that. It just felt like a weird game all around. Like, I thought this was going to be high-scoring. I thought this was going to be kind of run-and-gun play. And it was the exact opposite. And even the third period, when I thought we were going to get some action, we didn't get as much action as I thought, and nobody found the back of the net. It was kind of a bizarre game from that end.
Yeah, it was and it wasn't because, you know, I give Jared Bednar a lot of credit. You know, he's won a Stanley Cup with this Colorado Avalanche team, and he was there in the lean years. I think his first year behind the bench, he only had 21, 22 wins, which isn't a heck of a lot. And that was the year Patrick Waugh just surprisingly vacated the bench like in August, just before training camp. Jared Bednar steps in, and he was put in a real tough position. But at the time, Joe Sakic, the GM, and now Chris McFarland, their general manager, stuck with him. And Jared Bednar realizes what wins championships, and it is defense. It's great to have this high-powered offense, but, boy, you got to keep the puck out of your net. And they've done a real good job of that this year. You know, not only the two shutouts back-to-back, but a lot of their wins have been low-scoring affairs. And when you can win games 2-1 and 3-1 with an empty netter, that shows a team with a lot of moxie and with a lot of maturity, too.
It feels like they're easily the team to beat right now, Stanley Cup favorites. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, Jeff Blashill mentioned it this morning. You remember when he said they're kind of top heavy? And they are. Yeah. Their stars are all in the top two lines. But I give credit to those guys in the third and fourth line, too, because Bednar will play them. You know, Jared Bednar was kind of a tough defenseman, and he was kind of like a third pairing D, so he knows what it's like to be on a third and fourth line. He keeps those guys involved, and that's important on any team, and he makes them feel a part of it. And you've got to everyone's got to be important on the team. It's not just your Cale Makars, your Nate McKinnons, you know. It's the guys on the third and fourth line, and in this case, you know, the Nielsens, who actually it was Nielsen who stole that puck and ended up in the goal, and Poland had a pretty good game for these guys too. So those guys are just important as the stars, and I think Bednar makes sure that those guys feel a big part of it.
All right, last one. Tyler Bertuzzi thought he got penalized for a tripping penalty at 2:34. He ends up he's sitting in the penalty box, and then the officials go and finally huddle up. I got a text from somebody else too that was like, in all the years that they've been doing this, they've never seen a penalty rescinded like that. Have you seen that? I mean, you've seen like they huddle up before making the decision, but after, I mean, it's very rare.
No, and I said it on air with John. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. And I have seen guys get together before, but it was the linesman, I think, who came and told them, you know what, it looked like it was Bertuzzi, but it wasn't. And when we watched it on the Jumbotron, you could clearly see that Bert was trying to get there, but he didn't. And whoever, I think it was Lehkonen, either tripped on McKinnon or just maybe tripped by himself. So,
yeah, it was his teammate's stick that he tripped on.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, I think the NHL at some point will give coaches a one-time challenge on a penalty, because I would not want to be a referee in the NHL today, because it's so fast and things happen at breakneck speed. I think there should be an opportunity for a coach to say, listen, you're only human. I don't think you saw this the right way. Can we take a look at that? And you get one challenge flag, and you know, maybe they could look at it. But in that situation, you're right. Tyler Bertuzzi's in the penalty box. He was absolutely just jawing the referee. I thought he was going to get either thrown out of the game or maybe a 10-minute misconduct. He got neither, but he goes from the penalty box to the bench to on the ice. He actually started the next shift. So don't think I've ever seen that before. I hope Jeff Blashill gets asked about it, because it seems like they've been on the wrong end. And listen, and we sound like homers when we talk about this, but it seems like they've been on the wrong end of a lot of calls, I'd say, the last three or four games.
I agree with you, and because they're not ticky-tacky 50-50 subjective calls. Like, they're very blatantly, they have been going against Chicago, it feels like. And Tyler Bertuzzi, I think part of why we saw him so frustrated, even after they overturned it, he was giving it to the official on the way back.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, Tyler Bertuzzi was part of that controversial goaltender interference against Vancouver earlier in the year that they overturned his goal.
Right.
Then 40 seconds into the game against Buffalo on Friday night, he takes a high stick to the face, no call. Mm-hmm. And then now they were just sending it. Tyler's probably so fed up. And Jeff Blashill, I mean, every time there's a penalty, I just look to the Chicago bench to see how, because they have the benefit of looking at the monitor first, and then they can react.
Right.
And Blashill was absolutely livid. If that call stood, I bet you he was probably getting fined in the post game show, because in his post game presser, because it's just like just about to, he's going to lose it soon on the officiating.
Hey, Charlie, you're in with me on this, I hope. Here's our message to the NHL and the general managers. They already got together, but they get together again later in the year. I'd say, because hockey's so fast, give the coaches one challenge flag and make it a flag so they can throw it on the ice. I know we're stealing from the NFL, but let's do it. Throw it on the ice to relook a penalty call. And if the guy made a mistake, you know, hey, listen, own up to it. I saw something different. The game happened so fast. This is what I thought happened. I just see what happened. And then, you know, maybe you can rescind the call that way.
I've always been a proponent of, why not have a fifth official eye in the sky? Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like the NFL does it, where it's like if they Is it the NFL? I can't remember which sport it is that it's like if there's a blatantly missed call, like they will send a signal down saying, hey, like right. They're looking at the replay before the officials can even huddle. Why not just send the message like, hey, let's overturn this? I don't know. You don't want to get like disrespected by the officiating crew that is on the ice? Or, I don't know, but like
that's what I think the pushback would be, and especially from the NHL would be people in charge of the referees or even the NHL itself is, listen, we don't want to make these guys look bad,
right?
And that would certainly be making them look bad.
All right, Steve, you're going to be back with us on Wednesday.
No, you know what?
Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm in New York for the NHL Network, so I will be back Friday. So, yeah, I'll miss the Wednesday game. So.
I think, yeah, Chris Chelios is going to do the game on Wednesday night, and we'll see you back. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks. You too. Yeah. All the best to you and your family, Charlie.
All right, thank you, Steve. All right, that is Steve Conroy, who did a great job on the call with John Weideman. We got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room, so we'll hear what the post-game reaction was to this one when the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks shut out by the Colorado Avalanche 1-0 in front of a crowd of 20,441. It was a really good crowd at the United Center. I feel like the Sunday games always do really well. And the Chicago Bears picked up a big win earlier today against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unfortunately, the Hawks aren't able to do the same here at the United Center. Let's get to some post-game sound for the Blackhawks. Wyatt Kaiser was one of two players that spoke after this loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
You take the positives out of that one. I know, you know, like Jason was just saying, there are no moral victories. But, you know, do you take the positives of what you were able to do against the best team in the league right now?
I mean, yeah, I would say like it's a process, right? So you're trying to take away kind of the things you can grow from and learn, so you can look at the positive and say, okay, we're doing this well, and now what else can we improve on?
How do you feel the speed of your team matched up with what Colorado had on the ice tonight?
Yeah, I think we were right there with speed. I mean, first period, you see the transition game, like we're turning pucks over in the neutral zone, we're flying, like guys are turning it up and we're attacking quick. And I think that's one of our strengths, is our speed, neutral zone, attack off the rush. We can kind of get back, reload. So, yeah, it was good.
What did you feel like you got back to after the Buffalo game?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of an anomaly a little bit where it's maybe just one of those nights where things just really weren't going right. And so you just come in and kind of get back to work, like confident in our game. We know we can be a good team. So we should go out there and start playing again.
What was happening in the second period? I mean, you expect to push back from them. That's part of it. Was that all of it? Or?
Yeah, I think maybe just missing a few of those clean plays. Like, and I mean, they came. Like, they're pushing through the neutral zone with a lot of speed, kind of coming on that forecheck. And sometimes the game tilts in different directions. So just, I think that's also kind of maturing our game and part of the process of learning to like handle that. Like, okay, it's tilting their way. Like, okay, let's handle it. Let's play smart, and then we'll slowly tilt it back in our direction and kind of get that momentum back. So,
all right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser. Liked what he said there about going toe-to-toe with Colorado speed-wise. I mean, Colorado, it feels like they're kind of in a class of their own. A lot of their high-end talent, like Nathan MacKinnon and Kale McCarr and Marty Natchez, those guys play a really speed-type game, but there are other depth players on the roster that play with some more jam, and they are, you know, not the fleetest of foot. So sometimes it can be a little bit of a mirage, but Colorado, they just play fast because they're so smart and they make some quick decisions. But speed-wise, like foot speed-wise, the Hawks can go toe-to-toe with anyone, it feels like, with, you know, Frank Nazar and Oliver Moore and, you know, even the speed that they have on the back end with Sam Renzel and Artem Levchinov, all guys that can really skate. And so I didn't feel like the Hawks were overmatched in that department whatsoever. The Hawks did get a boost in the lineup tonight with Jason Dickinson returning to the lineup. He had missed the previous 10 games with an re-aggravating injury that's kind of been powering through all season long, and then he finally kind of shut himself down for a month to make sure that he got it completely healthy. He logged just over 16 minutes of ice time and had 4 shot attempts, 5 hits, and he took 15 faceoffs for the Blackhawks in this game, 1-8 of them for a win percentage of 53%. Good to see Jason back in the lineup. Let's hear what he had to say after this 1-0 loss to Colorado.
I've felt better for sure. My legs took a little while to get back to where they should be, but reads were feeling pretty good. A couple of misses that I'd like back, but that's to be expected.
Some of you guys, especially first, third period, had some great chances. Is this just one night where, you know, you're pretty happy with things and it just better goalie on the other end? I don't know.
Yeah, we can be both happy with the process, but not satisfied with the result, right? Would love for us to get the win, even scrape out a point. Divisional matchup like that, you know, everything matters. So it sucks, but for the most part, you know, that's a lot of good clips that we can go back and watch and be proud of what we did, because it didn't feel like we gave up a whole lot, especially in the first and third.
What happened with the second period where things kind of shifted to their side?
Hard to say off the top of my head. They're a good team. They're going to push, so maybe a bit of credit to them to say they might have found some holes in our coverage, and they started pushing, and they found what worked. We can address that in video and go over what needs to be fixed, but you know, it's not a perfect game ever, and it's a good team that's going to have their chances.
They're obviously sort of the bar right now. I obviously said it sucks and you guys lost by goal, but do you like where this team's at and just maybe even facing some adversity in the last game and coming back and playing?
I think I prefer that part of it. The adversity from last game and a response. There's no easy teams in the league. Like you said, Colorado's, I guess, the bar right now. The way they're playing, they definitely deserve to be talked about in that light. But there's no moral victories in the NHL as much as we're a growing team that maybe you can look at these that way, but personally I think we're just trying to find our way and measuring ourselves against teams. Although it's a good thing to do or to see where we're at, it's not something that carries a lot of weight, because every game is so different. There's circumstances every which way that you can look at it and break it down. Okay, Colorado is on a back-to-back. You know, people are going to find ways to kind of minimize what happens. So every game, it matters. It doesn't matter who it is on a given night. If it's 2 days of rest and then into a game, it all matters. So I think it's just being able to do it on a everyday basis. And like you said, responding after a tough one, that's what matters to me.
The second periods have been kind of an Achilles heel for this team this year. Do you think it's an energy thing, or like, is there even a way to figure out what's going on with the team's second periods?
That's a good question. It's hard to pinpoint what exactly it is. I don't think that there's some magic answer that's like, oh, our second periods, we just decide to not try. You know, it's not that simple. Is it as simple as teams see what we do in the first period and they make adjustments and we are now trying to adjust to their adjustments? Maybe. It's really hard to say. So it sucks that our second periods are letting us down, but it's all part of the process and learning and trying to figure things out as we go here.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. One, great to see him back on the ice, because he is a really good third-line checking center. Plays defensive zone matchups, defensive zone faceoffs, and largely goes up against the opposition's top line. But it's also great to have him back in the locker room, because he is always very well spoken and insightful after these games. And so I think they've also missed his leadership inside the locker room, and so it's great to see him back on the ice for multiple reasons. More to get to here on The Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on The Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Let's dive into tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Tyler Bertuzzi led the way for the Blackhawks in the ice time department with 21 minutes and 58 seconds of ice time. Right behind him was Connor Bedard at 21:54, so just 4 seconds under him. How about Cale Makar for Colorado? 27 minutes exactly on the dot. Guy is an absolute horse, and a reason why he has won multiple Norris Trophy winners. Really quick, speaking of Connor Bedard, found it interesting that he went up against Nathan MacKinnon's line all day. It felt like that's more of a matchup that Jason Dickinson gets. Now, I know Jason was returning from being out for 10 games, so maybe the Hawks didn't want to throw him right into the fire, but I did feel like it was the Hawks trying to allow Connor Bedard to see what he can do with the defensive responsibility of, you know, trying to defend the NHL's best player right now in Nathan MacKinnon. And obviously, as the home team, the Hawks get the last change. And so the Hawks had every opportunity to kind of dictate matchups. And Connor Bedard, he logged 10 of his 10:43 of his ice time was against Nathan MacKinnon, and the Hawks outshot Colorado 7-4 in that even strength time. And how interesting too was it that Kyle Dubas was in attendance. He's the Pittsburgh Penguins president and GM, but he's also part of Team Canada's management for the Olympics, their management staff. So I know Connor didn't generate much offensively because Colorado didn't give him much offensively, but I wonder how much he impressed the Team Canada management staff by just neutralizing a guy like Nathan MacKinnon. I thought that he was impressive in that way. All right, let's get to Jeff Blashill's post-game presser and hear what he had to say following this 1-0 loss to Colorado.
Jason Dickinson said no moral victories, but at the same time, much better, you know, especially given who you were playing too.
Yeah, like, you know, I think if we, even with the second, I think if we repeat that performance, we're going to win lots of games. Like, the other team is going to push back. That's just the reality of life. But, you know, if you look at kind of where we were to start the game, I thought we did an excellent job of in our structure, excellent job of some of the things we talked about this morning that we didn't do kind of in Buffalo. We had, like, real chances in the first. I think the better of the chances in the comparisons between the two periods, and we didn't score. And but we stayed with it. You know, you give up one late. Came out in the third, played pretty good. Obviously, you know, again, they're a really good team. It's not, you know, this stuff doesn't, you can't repeat that first over and over again. It's not going to happen very often. But I thought from a number standpoint, you know, we made progress. We just got to stay with it. Wednesday, we got to play a similar game, but play a little better in the second. And if you do that, I think you're putting yourself in position to win games.
What do you think of that first pair of Green?
Really good. You know, everything but finish. I mean, had great chances. And just, you know, again, the goalie made some good saves. Like, I thought he got, you know, he did the right things. It just didn't quite go in. It was kind of the story of the whole first for us. But I thought he played really, really good. I thought the line was really good.
How do you think they matched up? But it looked like they were spending most of their time against MacKinnon's line.
Yeah, I think good. You know, like, MacKinnon's line's a great line, one of the best lines in the league, and especially, you know, Nate just being out there. And you know, a lot of times when he's out there, McCarr's out there. Like, they play together, I don't want to say exclusively, but a lot, you know. And so, you know, there's a kind of a, you know, double-edged sword there, and I thought they did a good job. I thought it was a good... you know, there was times where I put Dickey out there against them, but I didn't want to, you know, give Dickinson a full night of it just coming back from injury, and I wanted us, you know, Connor to check him and be able to check for his offense, and I thought that line did a good job.
How did you think Dickinson did look?
Good, yeah, good. It's good to have him back. You know, he's just a calming presence, I think, on the bench. He's a calming presence on the ice. I think overall, I thought he did a really good job.
Seems to be getting more predictable, but tonight was maybe a little less predictable. How would you assess his play?
You know, Artie's doing a lot of good things. It's just the balance of those good things versus those moments of too much risk, I guess, would be the best way. You know, he does an unreal job in the third, skating the puck out, and he's got ice to his left, and he tries to go one-on-one. Like, that's just a growth process of understanding how to attack the game without biting, you know, taking off more than you can chew. So that's just a process with him that we're going to have to, as part of what, you know, we're doing this year is allowing these guys to grow. And, you know, with growth is going to be some mistakes. But I think overall, you know, he's headed upward and he's headed the right direction.
Have you seen a penalty rescinded before?
I have. And I actually think refs are doing a really good job of that now. Like, more in the more recent future, and I can't particularly like say, but I've definitely seen them get together, talk about whether the infraction was actually an infraction. It was clear, you know, that was not an infraction, and so good for them at a critical moment of the game to kind of swallow it. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody can live with the right call. Like, that, even them, I think it's an easier explanation to them than it is to us, you know, in terms of obviously it wasn't the right call.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. I was wondering when he was going to answer that, and I'm glad he did get an explanation and kind of gave kudos to the officials for huddling up and rescinding the penalty that Tyler Bertuzzi had. I guess they thought they had him at 2:30 Yeah, 2:34 left in regulation, so it was great to see. One more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the flight by Yingling. Chicago Blackhawks, a radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Let's quickly dive into a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Congratulations to Blackhawks prospect Mason West, who completed his high school career by quarterbacking Edina to a state title victory on Friday, 42-35 over Moorhead in the Class 6A state championship. So he brought his high school a state championship in football, and he also did so in hockey, and now he officially is going to turn pro, or I shouldn't say turn pro, he's going to officially transition full-time into hockey and go to the USHL's Fargo Force. And now, quickly, tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be back in action on Wednesday versus Minnesota here at the United Center, 7:30 start. The Minnesota Wild are on an absolute roll right now, 7-0-1 in their last eight games. Jesper Wallstedt picked up his third shutout of the season tonight. He's now 6-0-2 in eight starts. I expect him to be the starter for Minnesota when they're in town on Wednesday night. So it should be a fun Central Division battle between Chicago and Minnesota on Wednesday. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Ben Anderson, and our engineers, Nick Hepner on pinch hit duty, and Krista Flores was our captain back at the station. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 1-0 loss to Colorado. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday night from the UC.